You are listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. Hosted by me. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
You drive a hard bargain.
Episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm a little under the weather, so forgive the stuffiness. I do have my crew here back me up. I've got Mr. Bill the Butcher from Butcher Shop.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
And Will Turbot from The Man of Truth.
How's it going, gentlemen?
And you guys enjoy your weekend?
Very much so. I went through a couple protests and did a lot of research, a lot of digging. And how about you guys?
I wrote a lot, put together some stuff, did a lot of work on the book. We've come across some people joining the butcher shop. And I'm working on the case of Kathleen up in Washington State about her home invasion that was perpetrated by the targeting deputy sheriffs of, I call it Sasquatch County in Shamoko or something like that.
Okay. Well, I'm sawing down trees with how much tissues I have to use. So, we have a guest here with us this evening. We have Miss Rowena Matthews. Rowena, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello. Finally, Rowena. Glad to talk to you.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
I finally good to speak to you. So tell us why you're on the air.
I'm on the air to basically expose CPS in Minnesota.
Okay.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, why don't you start at the beginning of your story?
Go ahead, Lorena. Nail them.
All right. So I am a 35-year-old mother. I've been living in Minnesota all my life. I have seven kids. Two of my kids voluntarily gave them up due to my own drug addiction and, you know, trying to sober up and better my life and being in an abusive relationship with one of my pimps. Now, let me go way back. So, I grew up on a farm. I was taken from my mom.
Lorena.
Okay.
Lorena.
Yep.
I had a bad connection. Did you say one of your pimps?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Her name is okay. Rowena. Rowena.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Are you on speaker?
Is that better?
Mom?
Yeah, I just took you off. Can you hear me better?
Much better.
All right, sorry. All right, so basically my story, I grew up in Litchfield, Minnesota, a city called Litchfield, Minnesota. My mom lost custody of us when I was younger. And from the age of 8 to 18, I grew up on a small farm with my grandparents. I moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota when I turned 18, and I moved in with my mom. Now, here's the kicker. My mom was still doing drugs that I didn't know when I moved in. But as I lived there and went on, my mom eventually put a crack pipe to my mouth and ended up selling me. So I ended up spending almost 10 years of my life in the dope game and being pimped out by my mom and other pimps. So my life just took a turn total for the worse once I moved to Minneapolis. About 2009, I had my first child taken away from me from CPS. And then soon thereafter, I had a daughter a year later, and she was taken from me too. But I voluntarily gave my rights to the, my children because, I like I said, I was still in my addiction. I was just getting sober, and my pimp was either coming and running, taking the kids and trying to get me back out on the streets, and I would run out, and then he would get control of me that way. So I just felt like the only way that I'm going to get out of this dangerous situation with this man and keep my kids safe was to voluntarily give up my rights. So I did become sober and did everything that I needed to do to become a strong woman. I started working. I started volunteering. I started tackling my issues. And eventually moved to St. Paul, Minnesota through a program, a great, wonderful program that saved my life called Breaking Free. I eventually ended up starting working for them and doing a lot of traveling, telling my testimony. Now, through the years of my addiction, I had multiple childbirths. So by this time, I had 5 kids, 2 that were already in the system. My oldest daughter, well, actually all 5 are already in the system. My oldest daughter and my 2 sons lived with their dad in California, and they were off and on in the system with whatever he was going through. I didn't learn about it until they got up here. And then my oldest daughter lived with my aunt. Eventually, I had 1 more child. Her name is Sylvia. I had Sylvia, and I had her. I kept her. Everything was really, really good. They took her for 10 days when I had gave birth to her, which I didn't understand because I've been sober for so long. I've been sober by this time probably like 5 years. But they came and took her, and they told me it was because of my prior TPR. They drug tested me. There was no drugs in my system. They put her on a 7-hour hold. She did have, like, some swallowing problems or whatever, but nothing, you know, major. So she did stay in a little the hospital a little bit after I was released. But then she went to, I think, to foster care with somebody else. And then I think eventually my aunt got her for a while. But eventually they gave her back after 10 days. And we did everything together, me and my daughter. It was me and my daughter, and we were great, like. She was going traveling with me. We were camping. We were doing great. I was visiting my kids on top of that. My boys were flying in. I was having a relationship with my daughter, my oldest daughter, Tajina. Everything was really, really beautiful. And, I mean, any, like, parent and kid activity that you could think of that Minnesota held or had to offer, me and my kids were there. My significant other at the time, he eventually ended up relapsing and then becoming really, really abusive. And so then that's when my attitude and everything started changing. Like, I wasn't willing to go outside as much. I wasn't really to partake in any public speaking engagements. I eventually ended up having to bring my daughter to work with me all the time because she didn't want to take care of her. Like, every time I looked at in the mirror, I just saw, like, the strong woman, the phoenix that rose from the dust, just dying off this abusive relationship. Eventually, he moved out, and things just seemed to get rough because, you know, now I'm a single parent with a daughter, and I just feel like I'm just depressed. I'm in this abusive relationship. I really don't want anybody to know because I got a lot of people that look up to me. I just had a lot of weight on my shoulders. So eventually I ended up relapsing. And what I did before I relapsed was I called several people because when you're in treatment, you make a safety plan. Or when you're dealing with CPS, you make a safety plan. So I made a safety plan. If I ever feel this way, if I ever have a trigger or anything like that, these are the type of people I'll call. Well, I did that. I called so many people that night before I relapsed. I called begging for help, and nobody answered that phone that particular night. Nobody. And so I was like, hell. So I went and got high, and I got high for about 3 hours. Now, before I did this, I made sure my daughter was safe. I paid for a babysitter with a mutual friend that I know that always went and watches all the neighborhood kids. I felt, you know, once I got into that icky feeling, I just knew that that's not what I wanted to do. So eventually my housing manager, because I live in, supportive housing through Break It Free, she called me. She met with me at my apartment. I told her what happened. She told me, you know, she was thankful that I did that. We set up a case plan between me and her. And so what happened was she took my daughter. She offered to watch my daughter. I eventually went to the nearest hospital, which was Regions, and did an intake there and was committed, well, not committed, but, you know, was accepted in there on the psych floor, you know. And what I did was tell them, you know, hold me until I can get a place into treatment. And they did that. It was about the day of Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving, I came out of the hospital, and CPS was knocking at my door that, like, following Monday or something like that, and talking about that I need to turn in my children. Now, backing this up, I forgot to mention that, okay, so my baby dad that had my two sons that was living in California, Breaking Free, and I helped pay for him to come up here for one of my my oldest daughter's birthday. And so he eventually ended up leaving because he's actually a pimp himself and loves multiple women. Just I don't know what is wrong with that man, but he just likes hanging out with a lot of women. And so he came up here with my boys, and he eventually left two of my boys in somebody's house. And I found out, and I went and got them. So they were living with me here at the time with Sylvia, more towards the end before my relapse. So I did have three kids here. And so I thought that that my rights were terminated to them. Well, I never knew what the status was my custody with them, but to find out, it was just a transfer of legal custody to my baby's father. So he was supposed to have custody of Tajane, Avante, and Trajan. Okay, but he didn't have Savannah. My aunt did. So I went and got my boys. I called CPS and told them that I had them, and I just didn't want to get in trouble because I know now they've been gone for so long, it's time for them to enroll in school, and I've never done that with a child yet. Like I said, I only had just my daughter. So I was just, and eventually CPS did come, and they helped me, you know, clear it all out. We made a case plan. They put in the newspaper trying to find my baby dad to serve him. And I went to court. Well, the funny thing about court was, like, the papers that the court documents that were coming in the mail were, like, Brandon, you know, versus the state. It wasn't my name on there. But I would know about the court date. So I would go. And the judge was like, I don't even know why you're here because it's Brandon versus the state. Like, I'm like, well, I got my kids, you know, so he's like, you don't need to worry about it. They're safe there. And so I eventually never went back to court on my boys' case, and I always had custody of my daughter, so I never saw a social worker after them 10 days after they gave me my baby back, and I never went to court for her. So to speed it up, I'm in the hospital. I'm getting out. Now they take my kids that following Monday. Then I lost it. There was, like, no point in living. So I eventually went back to my pimp, my last baby's father, of my daughter, Savannah. And like our relationship just turned toxic and toxic and toxic. I eventually ended up getting caught up by the police for a domestic with him, and I went to jail. I had to spend 15 days in jail, and from jail I had to go to treatment. So they transferred me straight from treatment, and I excelled through the same treatment program. I excelled through it, you know, put my blinders on, did what I had to do, did, you know, therapy, went to all the mental health appointments, did whatever these people asked me to do. Ways, all that you could think of, I did it all. And when I tried to set up meetings with my social worker to come and meet with me at the treatment, she wouldn't do it. She's just like, there's no hope for her. She just really had no faith in me. But I still excelled. Like, the day before I was supposed to graduate, I ended up getting in a fight with a girl and I got kicked out. But I was able to get into another treatment exactly 2 days later, and I went there, and I excelled through that program, and I graduated. And by this time, the case is coming to an end, and I look up, and they're terminating my rights. So I just want to say, in this court document, I when I got these court papers on myself, I never read them, nor did really the lawyer that I got ever read them with me. Some things that I did catch, you know, maybe glimpsing at, I would let my lawyer know, like, hey, this is not true. Like, this particular instance, okay, so it says, Ms. Hogue recognized that Savannah, I'm going to read it to you right here, hold on. Okay, Hogue stated that because Savannah, young age, her level of special needs is yet to be determined. However, Hogue notes that Savannah is unusually aggressive for a child her age, often striking out and acting out in intense, almost violent rages. For example, Savannah would run on tabletop, climb on furniture, knock over dishes, kick the dog, and stab.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yep, go ahead.
I know we're coming up on a break in about a minute or two to go there. I'm going to let V get the last word, but you think this is something that occurred? It seems to me like you were probably a victim of some socioeconomic problems and you were vulnerable. They took advantage of you. Is that a false assumption?
That's the correct assumption. I was, you know, and under, you know, the Sex Trafficking Act, which was already too late for me, you know, I didn't fall under the protection guidelines, but they don't even protect the women that are already, you know, the Safe Harbor Act. So still they can come in and take your kids, you know, knowing all that you've been through. You know I'm a sex trafficking victim. You heard my story. Just for, like, instance, the guardian ad litem, I've never met her. The only time that she ever saw me was at my speech. And I said that to them. I said, this is a conflict of interest because she's been at my public speech, you know. So she literally took everything that she read in my book through Breaking Free and what I said to other judges, lawyers, social workers at a speech. She took that and brought it to life like I was doing it today. She said I was prostituting in front of my kids. I was doing this and that. But I had people come up and say, she wasn't even around her kids when she was doing this. When she relapsed, she paid for somebody to watch her kids. She set up a plan with Breaking Free for somebody to make sure her kids were straight while she was getting herself together. That part.
Okay. So we are coming up on commercial break here. This is a very involved, very difficult situation that you got going there on is. Here, really now.
Mm-hmm.
This is a situation that, of course, must be addressed, and I don't think this is something, quite honestly, we can really give you answers for here, but...
I know, and nobody can. I've called lawyers, I've called doctors, and what it
well,
boils
well,
down
well,
to
but that's
is
the thing.
That I need to come up. Go ahead.
But that's the thing. I'm going to get you on my other on my TV show, Family Case Files, where I do have a lawyer, where you can get some steps into recovery. but we're going to have to dig into this issue here. That
oh, I'm sober. I'm very sober. I've been sober for some years now, so I don't need
Well, we're going to go to a commercial break, and we'll be right back, okay?
All right, thank you.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, Mike, can I have you put Rowena on hold here for a minute? For this short segment right here, this 6-minute segment, I want to have a little powwow with my co-host here.
Hey, Mike, let us know when she's on hold, man.
Well, she's on hold, but so...
All right, I'm here. Go ahead.
So I want to have a little powwow with you guys here. So we have sex trafficking, drugs, you know, pretty much the works here. Now, I don't think we can give her so much as legal advice, but I think what we should be focusing on here is the drug issue and the trafficking and digging into the recovery process, because there are other people out there who are dealing with this extreme situation, and these people aren't damned.
No, these people
can be redeemed. They can have normal lives. They have a right to have a family.
Yeah, right. Can I interject here?
Yes.
Okay. This woman, and I'm not gonna get on her case. You can trust me on that. I'm not gonna embarrass the show. She is retreating to this. I was sex trafficked, but I was too old and everything. This woman is a professional prostitute, okay? That's what she is. And she said, I got off of drugs. I've been off this long. I had a relapse. I went to jail. Two of my pimps didn't do all this kind of stuff. In my humble opinion, she will never get a bunch of children back again. She will never. But, like you said, everybody has a right for a restart. And that's what she has to understand. Look, forget about your past life. That's gone. That's gone. Rebuild. Stay off the drugs. And we need to find out what drugs were she on, okay? Was she on? But I'm not condemning her. I'm not condemning her, okay? I'm just saying that's the way I see it.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, what about you? I mean, there are so many people who have their children taken for so far less, but the struggle and the fight is all the same. Everyone wants to have their own kids. I mean, that's what it is. But I'm just not sure where to go with this. What are you thinking now?
Well, let me one thing she said. She always made sure her kids were away when she turned her tricks. Now, V, you're from Austin. You've been to Killeen. I live in Killeen. You know what that is, okay? And I'm not gonna condemn the woman on the air. I'm just gonna talk politely to her and all that, but you know what that means.
Well, but okay. So just Mike, if you could just have her on hold, not on the air, that'll be fine. I don't want to get upset, but this is one of those situations, though, I feel, and Will, I want you to chime in on this, but when it comes to CPS and there are children taken, you know, there's a market for the white children, the blue-eyed, blonde hair, whatever, and then it sort of goes downwards as far as, you know, what the market wants when concerning race. So Ms. Rowena here is a very gorgeous, would seem to be African-American woman. I've just gotten photos of her. But I mean, seven kids all being kept from her. Do you think, I'm just trying to see the crime here. As much as I hate CPS, do you think she's being more victimized so by the system, or is it just a condemnation just because of her past, and this is just what they need to do? What are your thoughts right now?
Well, I'm thinking that, you know, she's not one of these. I mean, I don't know who she is just from what you're telling me. She's not a blue-haired, blonde-eyed person. And so if that's the case, then she probably wasn't born in the best socioeconomic predicament because of the historical and still occurring to this day segregation of black society. So that starts things off. So, of course, you know, if she had been born in upstate New York to somebody, you know, out there, then who knows? She could have been found herself in a completely different life. But, you know, kids are born in India, Brandon. That's one of it. Well, I'll get to my point on the other side of the break.
Okay, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with
So, are you tired of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines, spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system, and get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clearer, healthier, younger-looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com, and like me, you'll be glad you did.
Flow over 9,000, my girl is over 9,000, my squad is over 9,000, everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000, my girl is over 9,000, my squad is over 9,000, everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000, my girl is over 9,000, my squad is over 9,000, everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000, my girl is over 9,000, my squad is over 9,000, everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000. Girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000.
Okay, okay. So we are back from commercial break. I want to get Rowena back onto the phone here, back on the show. We've got to break this down. We've got to make this as simple as humanly possible. Okay, so, Rowena, how many children do you have? You said 7, correct?
I have 7, and I have 1 to my name right now that lives with me.
Okay. How many fathers?
I have 3.
Okay. Were any of these possibly John's?
No.
No, these were relationships.
Not one of them. All of them I had dear relationships with. They were my baby fathers. The last one were pimps. The first one, he just came to Litchfield. We grew a relationship. He was my boyfriend. We came to Minneapolis. You know, then he turned to pimp himself somewhere else in California. I don't know. But the last
two
pimps, I met him in Minneapolis.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm just getting some information on you here, because I've seen your pictures here. Look at your pictures. You're a very beautiful woman. And it goes to show how a woman like you can be victimized by everyone around you.
I'm victimized by my own mother. My own mother did this to me, too. Let's not forget that. My mama did this to me.
I was just about to say that.
My mama was the first one to do that. You know?
Go ahead,
Butcher.
Okay, Rowena, first of all, I'd like to thank you for one of the most interesting shows we've had in weeks, okay? Thank you so much. I understood during your talk that you wrote a book. You wrote a book, am I right?
Yes, me and other girls that are victims of sex trafficking put a book together, yes, sir.
All right, that's good. That's what I want to know. First off, I've had a very varied life in my life, and I want you to know that I don't condemn you for your choices in life. I will say that you're in a very precarious situation, okay? My suggestion, number one, is to concentrate on circulating that book and doing seminars. You have a very interesting life that could benefit lots of young ladies with your knowledge of what you know, okay? I believe that. What was your drug of preference? You say you were an addict. What was your drug of preference?
I do not want to share that on the line because I heard you earlier, so I'm not going to share that. I don't feel comfortable.
All right, I understand. And you heard me earlier, then you know I said that, in my opinion, you were a professional prostitute, and I'm going to expose myself here, okay? I worked with shows in Killeen, and I've worked with girls who were in that profession. I wasn't a pimp, but I worked for girly shows. I do not condemn you for that, okay? But I will say, with my daughter, Jackie, having been in her position, it's highly unlikely that you're going to reassemble your family, but it is highly likely that you can reassemble your life, and your life's experiences are very important.
I'm okay. I'm okay. At least I got one child to my name, because on one side of the river in Hennepin County, I'm a fit mother. I've done all the things that I need to become a productive member of society. And here in Ramsey County, which is just across the other side of the river where I live,
Let me explain something, Marina. The CPS is weird. Even if you get your children took for no good reason, or even if they pay a visit to your house becomes a CPS house. There is no forgiveness in the CPS system. None.
I know.
So you're going to just like my daughter, Jackie, you're going to have that monkey on your back forever. So what you're going to have to do is construct your life from this point forward and use your experiences to sell your book, do seminars, and help other people. That's my input. God bless you, and I wish you the best of luck.
And without my kid. That's what I'm
saying. That, hon, that is the business you chose. Hey, listen. I watched my granddaughter reduced to ashes. My daughter, reduced to ashes. I understand your pain. I truly do. But
Can you explain... Well, hold on. I know for the brevity of the show here, can you explain to us how you got out of this exactly? How did you get away?
How did I get away? I actually went to jail. My first time how I got out was like 2010, maybe 2000. Just after they, I gave up my first two, not my first two, but two of my kids. So I got out about like 2010. And that's when my life changed. I went to jail. I went through the Breaking Free program. I met him through the treatment center that I went through, and I became their star client there. I did a video for them. I ended up going to a group every week. I started volunteering. Eventually, after I had my sixth or fifth child.
No one came back after you?
I never went back to drugs after that. Huh?
So no one came back after you to pressure you to get back in?
Nope. No, because I live okay. in supportive housing. There's cameras all around the building. I live where, you know, I don't live in Minneapolis where anybody can get a hold of me, where I know anybody. I don't go out. I go to work. I come home. I take care of my son. I pay my taxes. I still go volunteer. I still share my story. And I still try to fight CPS that be taking children away from sex trafficking victims, all because they may relapse or they may get back in a relationship where a man sold them a dream and delivered them a nightmare. You know, now I don't trust no man. You know, I don't go out. I don't date nobody. I don't none of that. You know, I take care of my son and come home. But it doesn't make sense to me how I can have one child.
Okay, we got that. But what we need to do here is we need to progress in the story here. So, who has custody of what children? Are they all in custody of CPS, or do some of the fathers have them? Have they been put in homes? No.
So none of the fathers have them. Basically, all the fathers are locked up. But my aunt has my oldest four, and I have my youngest one.
Okay.
And they live not even, they live right into St. Louis Park, and she won't even let me visit them. Because she don't want to lose a check. She don't want nothing to come between her and the check, and that was the worst people they could have gave my kids to. Another family member that was a crack addict slash prostitute slash hit somebody upside the head with a meat cleaver. Daughter likes to date child molesters. That's where my kids are living at.
Have these people given you any sort of a plan, like say, oh, well, you be clean this amount of years, or you do this? So I know you've been through this class, you've done all those programs, but they should give you a certain amount of time where you should have, you know, your home, your job, and all that in a certain amount of time clean. Has anybody within the system even discussed that with you?
This is what's funny. Okay, my boys, I was fighting to get custody for. So their dad lost custody. I never even had custody of them. So how do you terminate something I never had? I was fighting to get. You understand that? So the only two children that I ever had custody of was my youngest daughter, who is five now, and my son, who I have now. Those are the only two. So you just terminated all my other kids because I was fighting for them, you know, and in the midst of fighting for them three, which I was already okay with my one daughter staying with my aunt, but I was just fighting for my boys since their dad lost custody of them. So they had to go somebody. My boys were a ward of the state when they were living with me. That means I was going to court fighting for them. But in the midst of fighting for them, I was
of your children?
They gave me about a year. About a year. But this social worker in particular, she did not give me a year. She was just done. She wanted to be done with it. She wouldn't work with me.
Okay. What's the ethnicity, age, and sex of your children?
They're basically stepped down like 15, 16, you know, 15, 14, 13, 8, 7, and then my daughter's 5, and then my son that lives with me is 2.5 years old.
Okay. And they are biracial,
no.
Black?
They're all black.
No. All black? All
black.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's very typical that CPS would not remove children in this situation, to be quite honest with you. It's weird to me because they want black families to fail. They want as worse situation off for black children as possible. That sound like a conspiracy theorist or you know, like a Malcolm X over here, but that is the general sense of
No.
Hold on. But in your situation, they did take the children, which is odd to me. So right. You're saying that with they found people who are worse than you for your children to have custody of?
I don't know. They didn't have a warrant. They didn't serve me no papers. They just called and said, drop your kids off over at these exits, so, you know, at my cousin's house. And that's what I did. No police officer came and got my kids. Nobody did nothing. Not no social worker. Nobody. You know, every time I had my child in the hospital, they were sober when they came out, but they still took them, you know. So I never got none of that. I didn't understand. So each time I had a child, it was ruined because I chose to give up two of my kids to escape a life of fuckery. Excuse my French, but hell, you know, I don't want to be pimp. I don't want to keep doing drugs. I don't want to do this. This is not how I want to live my life. And if you're going to keep taking my kids running in the streets to have me, well, you can have, I'm sorry, I can't take it. I want somebody else to take care of me.
Well, you are more fortunate in this scenario that, well, especially for your older children, that
right.
You are...
I've been sober years. Well,
your children are probably going to age out. You're going to be able to see them again, no matter what any court uh-huh. says. You have enough time to get your life together, to get back with the younger children, especially as uh-huh. the older ones come back to you. The courts can see that you have a family unit and that you are clean and you've got your job and you're doing everything that you need to do. So that is the positive angle that I can look into this on.
Yes. It's just so crazy that, how on one side of the river, you know, in one county I'm a fit mom, in the other county I'm not. That's crazy. That's like weird. You can have this child, but you can't see of any of these child. That doesn't add up. That's just ridiculous to me. Ridiculous.
Well, what's going to happen, Lorena, what's going to happen is just what V just said and what I picked up on when you named the ages of your children. They're going to age out stair-step. You are going to uh-huh. acquire access to your children. Okay, and like V yeah. said, you're going to have time to prove that you have changed and to prove that you are good and prove that you are a different person. And then,
can I chime in here real quick, guys?
Please do.
All right. I actually don't think that even if she was, like, first of all, she wouldn't be doing this if, like V was saying, they weren't already trying to destroy the black population there anyways. But the thing is, they make sex work legal, so child trafficking can be more prevalent. But
right.
even if she, regardless, as long as she didn't hurt her kids, she deserves her kids. And as we've documented on the show, and I've documented a number of times myself personally, DCYF, CPS actually abuse more children than the people, the bad, quote-unquote, bad parents, right? And this woman did not do anything. Doesn't make a difference. I don't care what the hell she does in her free time. As long as she doesn't abuse her kids, she gets her kids. So it's not my job to judge. And just to talk to V, you know, I've been noticing more and more when I first got into the CPS stuff, thought they only wanted blue hair, blonde eyes. But, you know, not, and as you're well aware, too, at these quote-unquote mental hospitals and the CPS kids, they just look for vulnerable people, whether it be Thailand or CPS or what's going on. They're just looking for vulnerable kids because there's a whole bunch of weird, sick pedophiles out there that like doing bad yeah. stuff, and they get money. It's kids for cash. That's all been exposed to documentaries made about that, and they get this thing. So the people that are paying taxes to protect our kids are worse than the quote-unquote bad people. So I commend you for speaking out, and I hope you do it. And it's unfortunate because, you know, if we were to judge the U.S. government based on its past actions, I don't think they'd be holding any kids or doing any Medicare either. But I think what you do is all, as long as you weren't, everything that you're doing was consensual. You never hurt your kids. So to me, you have every right to see your kids and to be in their life.
Lorena, I will add to that. The worst home situation, in my opinion, is far better than foster care. Being taken away from mama in whatever capacity mama is more traumatic to a child than anything else, and that's not the way it is. And I agree with I agree with Will. You didn't actually endanger your kids. Okay, your choice of lifestyle and everything didn't endanger your kids. But we're dealing with the CPS, and they play with a mystical, magical, county-by-county thing, and that's the problem that you're having.
Right, yeah, you know, and then the things that are in the court documents aren't even true. I never even had a dog. How did my daughter kick the dog in front of you? I've never had one. I've never had a dog. In the paperwork.
I want to add to this as well, just to, and I want to get everyone's opinion on this. I'm looking at the psychology of this, and the only thing I can think of is, like, whenever you have a felon, a hardcore criminal, and system puts that guy out on parole, you know, after he's done 20 years, knowing he doesn't know anything else, and he's going to commit another crime and come back. So what I'm seeing here with your situation is that they've taken all your kids, one, to destroy you. Really, I mean, it's so she can go into her depression, have a relapse, get back into the drugs, get back into the sex trafficking, because, you know, it's like, screw it, I give up. And really, that's what the system wants, is someone sex trafficking, you know, being a destroyed human being. And I think, you know, they gave you custody of one child just to see if you screw it up and then just condemn you for life.
And I haven't.
It's one big setup.
Yeah. Right. I know, and they, you know, but Hennepin County, it was an open and closed case. They took my baby out the hospital when I had my son, my one son that I got. He went to my aunt for a day. They put him on a 72-hour. My aunt went and got him. They called me and told me to go get my baby. I went and got my baby. And I ain't seen or heard from Hennepin County ever again. With Ramsey County, they gave me less than a year, and they weren't even trying to help me. Not at all. When I was fighting to get them kids. They were like, you can't have it. And then opened up my case on Surveya and just said, oh, it was never closed. So we're going to merge them with these other kids and take Surveya because I always had the custody of Surveya. So I'm just like, you just going to open up a case that was already closed, merge them with some other kids that I'm fighting for, and take her too. And that's what they did.
Well, and logic behind this is that these people would try to say, oh, you're a bad parent. Even though you hadn't had a chance to be a parent, they'll say, oh, you're a bad parent. Right. You'll probably do the same thing to these children that was done to you. But they are the ones trafficking your children.
Proven innocent.
But all the while they're trafficking her children and making profit off of them. They don't want the cycle to end with you, with your life getting better and you being a
better. You got,
they
you
want
guys
the cycle to
not,
continue you, to victimization of... Yeah. Your family, your class.
You guys are missing the central question, both of you. And I never say that, but you are. What has Lorena done to hurt her children? What has she personally done? Nothing. Nothing.
Well, no, I said she hasn't had a chance of being a parent yet. She hasn't had a chance. That's what I was getting at. So this seems like just social engineering set up all around, and it's only going to benefit those who are in control. So, Rowena, I really hope you get to the pinnacle of your success in speaking out and getting your life back together so that you can take your life back and depower these people. Because, again, people are going to hide behind the positives. Oh, they're positives of, well, she's dysfunctional, but they're putting you in a position to stay dysfunctional. You don't have your family. Who's going to be so happy and functional? So, I mean, I'm so sorry for your situation. But I hope you do take your power back, take your family back, take your life back, and we can all see as a society the psychology of what's going on behind everything the government does. It's not just who's getting trafficked? Children. Then they will be trafficked if they're with the parents. So, I mean, it's like cops and robbers. Well, robbers can rob you, but cops will rob you too. The only difference is they got a badge.
And so nobody watches it for them.
Perspective. What was that?
And no, they have a badge and nobody watches over them. And I just want to say, you know, only in America, the land of the free, where they take your kids when you haven't even committed a crime against your kids, sometimes when you haven't even committed a crime at all, and then to get them back, you're guilty until proven innocent. And then if you have another kid, then you have to prove your innocence all again for a crime that you did not commit. Like, can you imagine the people that fought in World War II? Like, this is something out of, you would think, communist China is like a one-child policy. You get next one. This is absolutely absurd. This is one of the biggest fights. This is like the civil rights of our generation.
Well, Rowena, I want to thank you again for coming on. We're going down to the last minute of the show. I will give you a minute here if you have a last thing to say for people listening.
I do. I just want to say, you know, thank you for having me on the show. Definitely check out the website, www.breakingfree.com. It'll explain all on how I saved my life. That's what saved my life. And I hope that we can expose and change this and more people come together in unity, because it's time for more unity and trust and healing that our nation so greatly needs. You know, families belong together. And I don't want anybody else's child to go through what I went through, no matter what they've been through in life. You know, it's hard waking up without all my kids, but at least I got one, and at least I can, you know, make him grow into the man that he needs to be, you know. And I'm learning that each day by day. I learn from my child, you know, and I love being a mom. I'm a good mom. So... with that,
okay, you know, well, everybody, please visit that website, please. But we have run out of time for this episode, so I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And remember, in the land of surveillance, the man with the third eye is king. So educate yourselves.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are
are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.